to Creative Conversations. I'm Roger Humphrey. In this episode, I'm pleased to welcome Chicago painter Adam Thomas. You may have seen Adam's paintings in Traditional Home magazine or the popular TV show Chicago Fire or many other places. Please join us as he discusses his journey from the corporate world to successful artist. Hey, before we begin, I'm going to ask you to hit the like and subscribe buttons, and if you're of a mind, leave a comment or two. These are really easy things to do, but really, really help out the program, big time. And I promise, no spam. And we're here today with Adam Thomas, a painter. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, and yourself?
I'm great, I'm great. Got a little cold, but working through it.
Okay, good, good. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on the program. I really, really do appreciate this. It's interesting. Since I've switched over to video and such, and changed the format a little bit a year ago. I've actually been all over the place digitally. I've done interviews in San Francisco and L.A. and Santa Fe and Miami and New York and Canada, Germany, Austria. But this is
nice.
This is my first trip to Chicago.
Nice.
So anyway, and I should have, it seems like I should be there more often. It's right in my backyard, basically. We're only a couple hours from where I live, so I'm in central Michigan. So
sorry, Alexis.
So that's great. So you are a painter, and you paint some absolutely beautiful stuff. I went online and was looking at some of your stuff. It's kind of a, well, some of it's based on nature, right? Is it all? I mean, a lot of the, some of the stuff that seems sort of abstract.
Well, even my abstract work is based on nature for the most part. Everything I do is based on nature to some point, whether it's, you know, water reflecting images or the sky or, you know, lily ponds or landscapes. Everything I do is reflected on nature.
It's absolutely beautiful. And there's something, as a result of that, of course, is something very organic about it. When you're looking at it, it just feels natural. It feels like it belongs.
Thank you.
And you've had pretty good success with it and such. How long have you been doing this?
I've been painting since 2005, okay. But I started my career out doing pet portraits on morning television.
Whoa, talk to me about that a little bit.
Well, it's kind of a fun story. I worked in the corporate world since I was like 26 years old. When I hit 34, I got a new job. I was in school, and this woman that I was on had a team, was a teammate of mine in school. She hired me as her marketing manager for her company. And even though we got along really, really well in school, we just butted heads big time in the corporate world. So after 2 weeks of butting heads, I literally walked out of the meeting. I called my best and I quit. I just went to HR, gave them my keys, and I said I made a huge mistake accepting this offer. When I got home, my roommate says, well, you're home awfully early from work. And I said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, watch this. I called my best friend who worked at the biggest TV station in Arizona at the time. And I said, I need you to pitch me on morning television, on your morning program on your station, me bringing in my artwork, my pet portraits with my clients and their actual pets. So you can see the clients, you can see the dog, and you can see the portraits of the dog. And so I got a call back later that afternoon, and I was scheduled to be on television a week from that day.
Wow.
And 2 weeks from that day, I was sitting on the sofa of a major famous rock star taking photographs of his cats watching American Idol. So that's how I started it. Then after doing pet portraits for a year, a friend of mine who was a successful artist said, if you want to make a living doing this, then you're going to have to learn how to paint. You can't do this as a pastel artist. You cannot keep doing pet portraits going to make a living and pay your house payment, your car payment, and all that stuff. So he basically made me start painting. So I bought these giant canvases And I did these kind of abstracted paintings. I didn't know what I was doing. And half of the paintings are probably falling apart by now because I didn't do anything right because I'm self-taught. But I started selling 4 foot by 5 foot paintings for $800 at a gallery in Scottsdale. And I would sell like five a month. And that was enough money to keep me going. So I got a roommate and put my studio in one in my third bedroom. And next thing you know, I'm an artist in a gallery.
I think that it's interesting because I know that I've been around the arts for the longest time as a musician. I'm a guitar guy,
Nice.
but my wife actually used to be part owner of and manage a small art gallery in northern Michigan, and so what I know about the art business is vicariously through her. But it just seems to me, being around other musicians and other artists and other people like that, that most artists in general don't know business worth a hoot. They're very talented and very industrious, but they don't know how to turn it into a car payment. I mean, it's so I'm impressed that
Well,
you do.
I think working in marketing in the corporate world before I launched into being a fine artist kind of helped launch that because I kept database of all my clients and emails, and I would go to art shows and collect leads. So just like I was selling a product in the corporate environment, I would collect people that were interested in my artwork. I still to this day send out a newsletter to people that were buying my artwork back in 2005 who bought those original pet portraits. And then social media has completely changed that, but it's kind of given me I still have that Midwestern work ethic where, I have a deadlines and I treat it as a business. And when I come up with new ideas for paintings, I kind of think about what an interior designer would want to show. So kind of put on my slant of working with nature, but also something that, would look good in someone's home. I mean, you can't sell artwork if nobody wants to buy it. So I try to paint p things that people like.
So it's kind of a balance between the things that you like and the things that you're interested in versus and the things that you think people are going to like. Kind of find that middle ground.
Oh, I would paint gorillas. I would just paint gorillas. I love painting gorillas. I had a polar bear painting that was one of my favorite paintings, and it took a good 7 years to sell this painting. It was my favorite painting. Could not sell it. I had a beautiful gorilla painting with blue butterflies. It took 5 years to sell that painting. And it was so much, I just loved doing it. I love painting the wildlife. I love painting the gorillas and monkeys and stuff like that, but they just take forever to find a home. Whereas I can paint a beautiful cloud, or I could do an abstracted lily pond painting, like a Monet inspired painting. And within a week or two, I've got money in the bank. So no more painting gorillas and polar bears anymore. It's kind of, I like to, eat.
And no more butting heads in a corporate boardroom somewhere, so.
Right. It was, and the weird thing is that if I worked for a really good company that was thriving and had their act together, I would probably still be in the corporate world because when things were going well, I really enjoyed it. So I guess it's good that I work for those crappy
But
companies.
here you are, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, this is great. So you started off working in pastels, you said. And now you're working in oils, is that?
Only oil, yeah. And I don't even do pastel anymore.
Gotcha. Okay. So, because I was, I, different artists prefer different medium, and I wasn't real sure. So the oil was kind of a business decision as much as an artistic one.
It was, but it's, I mean, that one friend of mine basically showed me you can be an artist if you're smart about it and you can make a living doing this, but you need to paint, big paintings that people are going to want to put in their homes. So I literally painted what I thought would be somewhat easy, and I did landscapes and clouds and trees and clouds. Fast forward, tw 20 years, I'm still painting landscapes and clouds. I love it. It's the outdoors. So,
Are these all really large paintings, as I recall?
most of my paintings are very large. Like the painting behind me is one of mine. It's kind of like a, it's a very soft landscape that, it reminds me of our home in Michigan on the river. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is very lovely. And so some of the artists that I've worked with have done small, like tabletop kinds of things as well. So I didn't know if you got involved in any of that kind of stuff.
I don't like working small at all.
Okay. So do you do, is it all original stuff or do you do prints of your work?
I have done prints for my representational artwork, like the monkeys and the peacocks and stuff. However, as we all know, some art galleries that have represented my clouds, they will not represent me if I do if I do prints.
Gotcha.
And when it comes to business, you need to, I mean, to do a print for my artwork is still relatively affordable, but if I'm not to like the $20,000 to $30,000 mark yet, where a two a couple $100 print makes any sense, just save up and buy the original.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So it's all larger works and primarily original stuff, which is kind of nice because once it's in your house, you can say, "Ain't no other. This is it. This is all."
Right.
So yeah, it's. I think there are different kind of sides to the business. I've seen a couple people that they will paint maybe a dozen things in the course of a year, and then they'll do prints and they'll do postcards and they'll do calendars and it's just on and on and on and on and on of that same painting, and they find a way to make a living doing that as well. So I think it's just kind of a different approach, or it's a different business than what you're in, actually, I think.
Well, I've done that. I mean, I have a whole line of greeting cards, actually. If you go to my website, you could click on links and you can send a, and it's older work. It's from like probably older than 5 years ago, but you can send out postcards with my artwork on it from maybe even 10 years ago. And do a little, happy birthday, whatever, with my artwork on the top. I also have a clothing line. And so I sold a lot of masks. And that's based out of Canada, but I mean, these are just more for fun than, and I've not really done a lot of prints, mostly because of some of the galleries are just dead set against it.
Sure. Now you're in galleries around the country, right?
I am in mostly right now. I'm in ch two galleries in, Chicago. I'm in a gallery in, Georgia. But my gallery in P-Town just closed. And my gallery in California just closed. So the art world is kind of taking a beating at the moment. So
Oh, really?
it's been a little bit of a, it's been a bit of a rough couple of years, 2 years.
Was that like a post-COVID thing?
It's possible because during COVID, even in 2001, things were booming. People couldn't get on airplanes and go anywhere. So they sat in their house and said, we need to spend our money on artwork. And it was really a great time for me. It was a lot of fun.
But things have slowed down then a little bit, so.
A little bit, but then it gets big. It ebbs and flows. I could have like the best month I've ever had and then not sell anything for 6 weeks. So
Gotcha.
it's weird.
Yeah. So.
But all in all, for me personally, it's been a good year with interior designers, not so much with art galleries.
Yeah, I had noticed that your work has popped up in Traditional Home Magazine
Yep.
and a Chicago Interior Design Magazine as well. I forget the name
Yep.
of. But how did that come about?
Just interior designers that what happens, they get your artwork for a job, or a client has their artwork in, or I'm sorry, a person has your artwork in their home, and then it gets photographed for professional use, and then there that it happens. The one in Traditional Home Magazine, I have an art rep here in the city named Daniel Kincaid, and he actually worked with his interior designer for a big show house in Lake Forest, and it was pretty much the biggest. It was like the center of the whole house. You walk in, boom, it was right there. So it was such a wonderful, exciting event that happened. And then I got shot, and it helped my career tremendously.
So now that's a piece of art that they own, but
No, it was borrowed for the project. So it is an interior design house is where you have this giant mansion, and then certain rooms, you have different interior designers that get all selected to do certain rooms. And so that the show house is where people come in and say, this interior designer is, or this room is done by this interior designer. This room is done by this interior designer. So it's kind of like a way for them to get new clients. And this designer wanted my painting, and actually he did commission it for that space, based on a painting that was this big, but it was a wonderful success. It was great.
So were you able to sell that painting? Did he own
Oh
that?
my God, yeah, I sold it, and then not only did I sell it, but I had probably five commissions based on that painting.
Wow.
And the weird thing is that several years later, I was still getting leads generated from that one photograph in a national publication.
Well, I can see that. I mean, yeah, because these publications, once they hit the doctor's office, they're there for a long time.
Yes.
So, and then you actually kind of a similar situation for one or two TV shows as well. Is that, am I remembering that right?
Let's see. I'm on several television shows. I have a friend who is a real housewife. So my artwork has been on, she had a sh her name is Dina, and she had a show on HGTV. She was one of the Real Housewives. Wait, so, and so it's, let's see, I was on Celebrities at Home on HGTV. Then I was on Dina's Party. And then I was on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And then the sister had artwork of mine, and she had her own spin-off show. So my artwork was on that show. And then other shows actually rented my artwork here in the city. So I was on NBC's Chicago Fire, Boss, I think, and can't think of the other ones at the moment. And then they popped up in like Tabitha Salon Takeover, where like one of my paintings was in the background of the salon, which was kind of funny. And
Now,
that was purchased back in 2005 when I didn't even know what I was doing. So,
do they rent that directly from you, or do they do that through your rep?
well, they actually bought the artwork that was on that television show, but the Chicago Fire and the Boss, they rented those paintings. And then in a couple of instances, they bought them for the actual sets. So if there were multiple, scenes shot in that one bedroom or living room or whatever, that painting would always be there. So it was kind of a cool gig.
Yeah, and so are you able to get commissions off of that as well? Have you?
I've never had one. Nope.
Really? But you got bragging rights. I mean, come on.
Bragging rights are great. It's fun for my website. It's fun to do the screen capture. And it was kind of fun to, be sitting at home and have tech friends text me and say, you got to turn on the Real Housewives of New Jersey because your painting is in the background right now. It's like, oh, kind of cool.
That's a lot of fun. I have a friend, and he's actually been on the show. His name is Christopher Sharman, and he's an actor in Hollywood, and he's been in several movies and such, and every time one of his things pops up on Netflix or something like that, I immediately send him a text. Hey,
It's funny. It's funny.
it's a hoot. It's great fun, to be in the middle of all of that. So that's really exciting. So, you don't do any teaching or anything like that?
I don't at all.
Okay. Now I have to ask you one other thing. Talk to me in a couple of pictures I saw. Bubbles. What's up with the bubbles, dude?
You know what? I think they're just happy. I think they're fun. There's something that I do and not many other artists do, so it's kind of just indicative of me. And I don't know why they make me happy when I look at them. It's just,
Well, how did you get that from? What's
I
the.
don't even know how I got that idea. I did an original one of my first painting was this landscape with this sparrow flying, and it was so boring. And I'm like, this is the most boring painting I've ever done. And for some reason, I don't know what happened. And Next thing I know, I'm just doing all of these bubbles, and it was a it was a it was a 3 foot by 5 foot painting, so it was very, very large. And I just did all of these different bubbles, and then the bird was flying into it, and it was called Flying Into Happiness. And that painting just made me happy. And then, and then of course on social media it gets really, really good, response. And then the next thing you know, it's on a TV show, and it's cool. It's very, very cool.
Well, it makes me smile just thinking about it.
Yeah,
There's just
I just.
something cheerful about that.
It's very cheerful. It's very happy. They make me happy, and sometimes they sell really, really well, and sometimes they just don't move at all. They don't want people don't want them at all. So I don't know.
So, other than galleries that represent you, where else would you and online, which I'm assuming is, where else would your stuff be available? Are you in any museums anywhere, or?
I'm not in a museum yet. No.
Okay, well, you're not dead yet, so that matters.
No. But I have friends that are in museums, so.
I know. In classical music, my favorite joke that I heard years ago was, in classical music, the only good composer is a dead composer, and so.
They're decomposing.
All right, there you go.
You can't see my artwork at Nordstrom, actually. There's some in Nordstrom in North America that have, but oh wait. See, no, one of them is closed. So anyway, they're in Nordstrom and Michigan Avenue and Nashville and Austin and Seattle. So Nordstrom was one of my biggest collectors in 2014 and 2015, and they were commissioning these giant paintings, like in Los Angeles. So it was such a wonderful year for my work. So what. People still give me, I still to this day get leads from that.
Okay, now these are being displayed. It's like some of their home things, or
They bought it to for their showrooms. Yeah.
gotcha. Okay, so
Yeah.
they're not necessarily representing you. They just own the art, and people are going, "Who's that?"
But they do put contact information underneath the artwork, though.
That's awesome.
It's very awesome.
So do you do other corporate work? Have you attempted that kind of thing? Working for
I'll do anything when they ask me to.
spoken like a true artist.
Yeah.
We all, it's like, yeah, just give me a call.
Well, I have one. I have these interior designers that do a lot of corporate work. So I've been placed in a lot of boardrooms for
Gotcha.
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So how do you connect with your interior designers? Is that something that
Social
you do?
media, and my newsletter primarily.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So what's next? Anything you haven't done that you want to do? I mean, other than
That's the big question I keep asking myself. So I don't know. I've kind of hit a wall at the moment. So I don't know what I'm doing next. I really enjoy doing birds on sheet music. I thought that was really fun, and I don't have any of those left. They're all sold. And I really enjoy painting birds. Birds actually sell. Gorillas don't, but birds actually sell. And bubbles sometimes. So I don't really know. I'm working on a bunch of smaller paintings that will be available in time for Christmas right now. And I don't like doing smaller paintings, but I'm doing it just for, people that a lot of times, people don't want these giant paintings. They don't have room for their home, but they do want one of my paintings because they see me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And so they want something. So at Christmas time, it's like, here's your opportunity to get one of my paintings because they're smaller and they're a little bit more affordable. So
Gotcha,
that's
gotcha.
what I'm working on right now.
So if I've got an art student listening to this or watching this, what advice might you give them that they wouldn't necessarily get in art school?
Well, first of all, I have a lot of things to say. First of all, keep a list in Excel or Word of people that are interested in your artwork, and an email list. First of all, first and foremost. Second of all, if you're really interested in doing artwork, start out doing a series of 10 paintings that are all within the same genre. So you have like a collection. It's the same with interior with fashion designers. So you have like 10 river paintings, 10 paintings that are inspired by this. And then from there, I would say, and then start approaching galleries and start, approaching interior designers. Start marketing your artwork professionally on social media. Get one of those apps that they'll put your artwork into a setting where it's like someone's beautiful home that would look beautiful. So an interior designer or a collector say, well, look how beautiful that painting looks in that room. I bet that painting will look great in my room. So even though you have to be smart about, what will people want to buy. Unfortunately, I think the big thing that they're selling right now is pop art, and I have no idea how to do that at all. It's not my thing at all. And I've wrapped my brain around, I could probably make more money if I did pop art, and it's just not in my wheelhouse. So if someone, one of your students is doing pop art, go for it. I think that'd be great. My nephew, who is 12 years old, did this drawing of a skeleton wearing headphones, and I think he actually traced it, but he colored it in, and his my brother was showing it to me in a text message. And if that painting was like 3 foot by 4 foot, he could sell it for like $10,000. I
Oh my
mean, it was just
goodness.
so cool. I'm like, this is awesome. I mean, he's 12 years old, and then I actually took that 8 by 10 little drawing that he did, and I made it really big and put it one of the in that software where you can put the artwork in a definite room, and it looked so cool. It was so cool. So I don't know if my nephew's going to be a big
It
art,
was 12-year-old in town, so. So, well, that brings me to, I guess, another subject, which would be artificial intelligence, because I mean, just about everybody in the creative world is concerned about what that's going to do. Is that something that concerns you at all?
No, that doesn't concern me. But what does concern me is that a lot of artists are famous because they're famous and not because they're talented. I think I've seen a lot of artists who I don't particularly care for their work. And I love using the word pedestrian, and their work is selling for so much money. They're so famous. They have celebrities buying their artwork because they are now famous. I'm more worried about that than I am worried about the AI. I mean, people want original artwork, and AI is just,
So sort of the Kardashian effect.
Exactly. I mean, they have zero talent. They're horrible people. I mean, yet they're fa I mean, they're like, US royalty, which I don't understand at all. And then I have some artist friends that are they can paint circles around me, and they just don't know how to manage the social media, or they don't go to events, and it's hard to, if you are an artist and you do a really, really good artwork, but you also have to maintain somewhat of your own persona, because they're not just buying your artwork, they're buying you.
Right.
And that sometimes it's really, really hard, to be someone bigger than you are. I mean, it's just, but these, I know people that are so successful, and it's because they're famous, because and it's and their work generally doesn't sometimes, reflect that, in my
Well, we
opinion.
see that all across the whole art thing, whether it's authors or musicians or. I mean, it's just it, that's all over the place. People who are famous just because they're famous, and the work that itself is, and I mean, I could name names. You can name names, yeah. And you just kind of sit back. If you really work at what you do, and you scratch your head, okay, why? And my particular case, I'm old. I'm not young, and I'm not cute, and I do not have great legs, so. Immediately, right off the
That's funny.
list. But I think that I suspect it's probably been as that way, forever. It's just it's our turn to complain about it, I guess. But
Right.
But yeah, it is something to grumble about. So there are people who are better at business than they are at art, whatever that discipline happens to be, whether it's painting or music or writing. So anyway, Adam, thank you so much. You know, believe it or not, we are out of time.
Well, thank you so much. I'm humbled and very grateful for this opportunity. Thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you. I'll talk to you again real soon.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
I want to thank Adam for taking time out of his very busy schedule to chat with me. If you would like to know more about him or view his paintings, there is a link to his website in the description below. I also want you to know that I often get updates from the many artists who have appeared on the show, so I started a weekly blog so you can keep up. Just go to www.rogerhumphrey.com and hit the blog tab at the top of the page. While you're at it, please subscribe. Again, I promise, no spam. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you'll continue to listen to Creative Conversations with Roger Humphrey.